Welcome back to the roundtable. Our tech attorney looking very
natty.
I was going to say natty. Yes. I was going
to
say natty.
You're
looking very natty.
Very Damon Runyon.
Rich Honan pays us a visit with some thoughts on headlines from the business world and much more. Rich is with Phillips Lytle LLP, where he is the partner in charge of the Albany office, and it is always a great pleasure to have Rich Honan here on the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Great to be here.
So, you know, what do we make of the situation we're in now? The Dow seems to be doing pretty good. We're hitting records, right?
It seems that way. And you and I talked about this some time ago. You know, because we brought up, if everything's so bad, why is the Dow at 13,000, 14,000?
Right.
At the time, one of the theories that we came up with was the money world had kind of figured out, okay, now we know how to deal with Obama, we know what's going on, and we can make money in any environment once we understand the environment. But what we're seeing now is, if you remember, this whole recession started because some really big players were kind of manipulating the money system, and it led to easy credit, and it led, which led to disaster.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I think we all remember that, yes.
And they manipulated, those big players manipulated it through really, really complex financial instruments that nobody really understood. So right now, there's a really, really big player, okay, called the Fed, that is manipulating the money supply through what they call quantitative easing, what some people call almost qualitative easing, and it's led to really easy credit. And now we're starting to see stories about how commercial loans to businesses are increasing. But a lot of them are, you ready for this? Credit light, L-I-T-E, credit light loans. Can you believe we're doing credit light loans in this?
Now with credit light.
Yes. And consumers are now starting to borrow money, even though they're making less money. And it seems like we're kind of heading back to where we were, and no one's talking about it.
All right, so let me ask the question. The question being, because the Fed is doing it, can I be naive enough to believe that there is a regulation and an oversight that is happening there that did not happen previously?
Until yesterday, you could have been.
Okay.
Yesterday, there were some minutes published that talked, the minutes of the Federal Reserve, the Board of Governors kind of meeting, okay, where they talk about, this is what we talked about in our meetings. And what shook the market was a couple of things. One, that it looks like the Fed may decide they're going to, they might stop doing this quantitative easing prior to reaching the goal. By the way, the goal is 6.5% unemployment.
Yeah.
Okay, which we will never reach in anybody's lifetime. I hope we do, but we won't. But then it turns out—
Well, why are you so sure?
Well, I guess what I should say is, first of all, we're moving down. We're at 8.9. Now we're around 7.8. We're moving down at the speed of, plate tectonics. So it's going to take a long time to get there. But the other thing is, we may get the unemployment rate down, but one of the problems is there's tons more people unemployed who are not working than ever
right.
were
They're
before.
They're not in the system as
correct.
It were.
Correct, correct.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have been scratching their heads saying, how are we going to deal with that? Unemployment doesn't really seem to be getting better because there's not many more people working. In fact, there's fewer people working. And then yesterday, it kind of became apparent that there's disarray within the Fed. So some people are kind of saying, yeah, we shouldn't be doing this anymore. Some people are saying we should toe the line. And other people just kind of don't know. And now it's starting to become clear that maybe this was just kind of a shot that they took. And there's not as much oversight or just not as much thought behind it as we originally would have hoped.
These minutes...
That was a long answer to your question.
No, that's fine. These minutes have a... we're looking at what period of time? Over how long?
Over the last couple of months.
Okay.
And now next...
Add. So, but during an election cycle.
Yeah, I'd like to think I'm one of the more cynical people around here, right?
Yeah.
Besides you, maybe.
Sure. that's why we get along. Sure, go ahead.
But the Fed is supposed to, I think the Fed is one of those places that kind of tries hard to be non-political.
Absolutely.
All right. And so I'm not going to put that on it.
But it is the elephant in the room.
Yeah, it is. And you know, it's you could argue that it's a political decision as to whether the Fed should be even involved in employment versus unemployment, right? It's really supposed to be regulating money supply and interest rates and keeping the system stable. And that, in some ways, has nothing to do with unemployment. And then next week, the Fed chairman will testify before Congress. But the thing that's interesting is we have a lot of the same things present as there were in 2007, 2008. There's some really big financial moves going on that you and I don't really understand all that well. And they have the effect of masking some other things that are right in front of us. And one of those things is there's not a lot of people working. Another thing is people are starting to borrow money that they really can't afford, and businesses are starting to borrow money that they really can't afford. And that sounds hauntingly familiar. You know, and I'm not going back to 1929. I'm going back to 3 years ago. Yeah. You know, you think we'd have some institutional memory of this?
Oh, well, isn't that always the problem though? That we don't learn lessons. That we don't have that institutional memory. That we tend to have the lure of money overshadows anything, any lesson.
I think that
we don't want to feel the pain.
Well, I think it depends who you mean by we, because I think that we, the American people, actually do have an institutional memory and we do learn things. The government doesn't always. My best example of, I guess, of people learning things is the Vietnam War versus the Iraq War. Remember during Vietnam, people were pointing fingers and throwing rocks at the actual soldiers returning.
Right.
And by the time the Iraq War came around, you saw, honor the warrior, not the war. So
we evolved as humans.
We learned. Now, I'm not sure the government learned that, but we as people learned that in a fairly short amount of time.
Okay, but it's still, when we offer credit light, it's still the businesses, it's the people who are taking that and saying, okay, I will do this. I will take this money even though I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to pay it back. I mean, it still comes down to that.
Right, and so the question is, the thinking is the same as we see this in politics, we see this everywhere. Well, look, if I don't take it, somebody else is gonna take it. So it might as well be me. And that's why you see all these Republican governors now who are signing up for Obamacare, right?
Yeah.
And say, yeah, we'll take the money. You're paying 100% for a while. Then we'll figure out some way to scrape up when you're only paying 90%. And so businesses are saying, well, if somebody's going to give me money, I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying institutionally, I don't think that's the right thing for us. And I don't know that anybody's really minding the store as far as what's going on with the fundamentals of our economy.
When you look at those fundamentals and you consider the fundamentals and, it seems as though, I guess my question is, when's the last time the store was being minded? I mean, you know, like when were we,
yeah, right.
When were we really paying attention? Because we've talked about this in the past. You and I have talked about this in the past. I mean, there seems to be, it's the system. Okay. But there's also great flaws in that system.
And there always were.
And there always were.
So what's the difference?
Well, so do we try to, do we try to fix those flaws in the process of trying to fix the economy and get people back to work? And also in that process, do we put a blind eye to what are those flaws and minding the store with the overall goal of trying to put people back to work and improve the economy?
Well, and I think the answer is we have, as a nation, become comfortable with the idea of being unable to mind the store. And the answer and the reason for that is, you know, one of the reasons that you and I first started talking, right? I am our tech attorney, right?
That's yes.
And we rarely talk about tech anymore, right? We talk about politics and economics.
Right.
But it's technology in a big way that's driving that societal shift, because with our reliance on technology over the last 10, 20 years, we've really become very comfortable, and you might say too comfortable, with the idea that we're totally willing to put lots of trust in something we don't understand at all. I don't get how it works. I just use it. I don't get how my iPod works. I really like it. I don't get how the internet works. I couldn't live without it. Okay. I don't get how our economy works, but it seems to be fine. And I think that we've become very comfortable both at the governmental level as well as just as people saying, well, I don't get it, but, you know, probably somebody does. Okay. Now, that's fine when you're dealing with your iPod. I don't think that's as fine when we're dealing with things like what brought us down in the first place, these derivatives. Well, somebody's minding the store. Well, it turned out nobody was, because we've become too comfortable with the idea that, yeah, there's things going on that we don't understand, but it's okay. It's all good.
Well, and this comes down to an issue of trust, right? This comes down to an issue of trust in our systems.
Is it trust or is it laziness? That's my question.
I don't know. I can only speak for myself. Right. I agree with you in the sense of that we have been very comfortable with this notion of, okay, I know it happens. Look, I sit in a room. There is a microphone in front of my face. I speak, and it shows up in Litchfield County, Connecticut.
Right.
I have no idea how that happens. I went to college. They explained it to me. I don't understand it. It's magic. It goes here. They have all that stuff. You were playing with those switches just a few minutes ago.
Right.
And
there might be nobody listening right now, actually.
and somehow it winds up.
Right.
Okay, it goes bouncing around and it winds up in your radio. I don't understand it. But by the same token, I have trust that the people on the other side of that glass and that the people who are in charge of the technical nature of this program and of this radio station, make sure that it works out and that we are abiding not only by the law, but technologically to get, you know, program A to radio B.
Okay.
Okay. So, so I don't think that, is that laziness on my part?
Well, it is not, but let me change your role a little bit. What if instead of being the guy on the air,
yeah,
the talent,
yeah, we'll use that term very loosely.
What if your job was to oversee all the radio transmissions in the country and to make sure that the radio transmissions got to the American people? And if it didn't, bad things would happen to the country. Would you have that same level of blind trust, or would you take a little more initiative and do a little more due diligence and make sure that, okay, somebody sit down and explain to me exactly how does my voice get, you know, into this guy's car?
Right.
Now, maybe you'd say, no, I'm fine with that. I'm fine. I don't understand it, but I trust the woman or the man who does understand it, and that's all I need to know.
Well, let me just go with what you said.
Because the latter is where we are.
You have the Federal Reserve, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And sure, there have been problems. Now the oversight, right, is that the head of the Fed is going to go testify before Congress. And we'll find more out, right? Isn't that the oversight?
You feeling real good about that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, but to me, that's a system. That's a checks and balances.
I would agree with that.
Am I overly naive?
No, you're not, because I think I have to say the same thing about that system that I say about the legal system. You know, I'm a lawyer, and people always come to me and say, you know, the legal system doesn't work. And I say, that's not true. The legal system is actually a thing of beauty, but the problem is, as by the way, is our government, in theory, a thing of beauty. But the problem is, it's very fragile. And it really depends, both the legal system and the governmental system depend on everybody doing their job. And it only takes one or two people not to do their job to bring the whole system down. That's what I mean by fragile. So you could have this great legal system and you only need one bad judge or one bad lawyer or one bad juror.
Absolutely.
Or one bad senator or one bad congressman or a group of people who are doing what we were talking about earlier. They're just kind of taking it on faith. So he's going to go up and say, well, quantitative easing, we've brought, you know, interest rates down to this. You see that the unemployment rate has stayed fairly steady and is up and is going down. And we're very pleased with that. But nobody is going to ask the question, you know, what are we going to do with all this cash that's out there? What are we going to do with all the debt that's being lined up? What about the fact that there's, you know, so many fewer people working in the country than there were, say, 4 years ago, because the participation rate has gone from 66% to 62 or whatever it is.
Well, don't we just switch roles, though? I mean, if the Republicans are in charge, then the Democrats are asking those questions. If the Democrats are in charge, the Republicans are asking those questions, and then we just hate each other and we don't actually do anything
right,
about it?
Right. But the way it's supposed to work is everybody's supposed to ask the questions.
Right.
You're supposed to at least ask the questions, and then you argue about what the answers mean. Right.
That was my synthesis of cynicism right there, what I just said.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's kind of, you know, it's like, you know, Hillary Clinton, when she said, you know, what does it matter? What does it matter what happened at Benghazi, right? And the answer is that's, you know, with due respect.
Well, I think that was taken out of context. I believe it was taken out of context. Okay. I mean, I think her point meaning that the people were I don't want to get off on
okay.
that.
But my point is, the response should have been, that's not your call. Your call is to tell us what's going on. Come on in. And then we will synthesize it from there.
Yes, go ahead. This just in. Go ahead.
I guess the idea is that there's been a little too much of people relying on other people, whether it's Congress relying on the Fed, whether it's the Fed relying on the regulators, whether it's us relying on the government. And there's a couple of things, I think, that are right in front of us, just as they were 4 years ago. And like I say, you know, increased debt, increased borrowing, fewer people working and more people kind of, you know, bearing that burden. And we're left arguing about things that don't matter, you know, sequestration and all that stuff that's really just fluff.
Okay. Let's talk about that for a second, because when you were talking about fragility, it seems to me fiscal cliff, sequestration, that again illustrates the fragility of the system. I mean, and how one person or one body, one group, can screw it all up.
But wasn't that group the entire government?
Well, yes, but
look how quickly the whole idea of sequestration was. Let's have a doomsday machine, right? Let's have something that it's going to be so bad that there's no way we, Democrats and Republicans, right? White House and Congress. There's no way we will ever allow it to come to this, right? So we made the sequestration was supposed to be the default if the committee didn't work and all that kind of stuff. And now that's where we are. And everybody's like, all right. You know, it's going to stink, but, you know, we're going to go, you know.
We just put it off, right? We just put it off again, and we say, all right, then we'll call it something else. So, we avoided the fiscal cliff.
But Joe, look
sequestration,
how,
and then it'll be something,
look how fast we're going for, you know, we started the conversation by saying, you know, years ago, we used to, you know, try and understand things. Look at how fast now the life cycle of us from caring a lot to not caring at all has been. Sequestration, when did we argue about it? 2011?
You know, I don't know.
And now by now we don't even care?
It scares the hell out of me.
It
I
should.
Don't know.
Me too.
I mean, and I think here again, when you talk about the people, I think most people probably do care about it.
No, you know what? I think it's the same way as when you're in an airplane and it's bumpy. What's the first thing you do, right? You look at the stewardess or the flight attendant,
yes.
Right? And you say, wow, it's really bumpy, or wow, it's kind of, and you look around and you say, is everybody else screaming and yelling? Because if so, I will too.
Right.
But if not, I don't want to be that guy and, you know, get trussed up by duct tape and have to wait for the federal marshal to come get you. And I really feel that's what's being done. Everybody's saying, wow, this sounds crazy to me, but I must be wrong. And, you know, because nobody else seems to be that worried about it. Sequestration was the worst thing in the world, you know, a year and a half ago or a year ago. And now it's like, well, you know, we'll talk about that. But let's talk about immigration. Let's talk about something else.
Well,
let's talk about preschool.
That's unfair.
That's not just an Obama thing. That's everybody. They're already on to their next thing. They're going to argue
off. I didn't mean it as a political thing, but I think that there are other issues that you have to discuss. We have to discuss.
I don't, and that's the whole thing.
You're a tech attorney.
But we've talked about this before. We say, you know, one of the problems, knowing that government is inefficient. Why would you give your most inefficient employee, for example, 100 things to do? You would give them one or two things to do and try and do it right.
Ridiculous. You have the Defense Department. You have the Education Department.
Right.
You have all of these
and
various departments. You can't just focus on one.
Well, wait a minute. The Congress and the President aren't supposed to be running the operations of those departments, right? They're supposed to give them their money. They're supposed to give them their marching orders,
yes.
Or withhold their money or change their marching orders and oversee them and then have them do things, right?
But
we can't, Joe, I would buy your point if you told me, we solved problem A and then we moved on to problem B, or we had many problems at the same time, but we haven't solved a single one. We just keep pushing them all down the road. I'm not going to say kick the can, but have we solved any of these?
Well, I agree with you that there is gridlock. I mean, I think that's been well documented, obviously, and there has not been a progression. But what I was reacting to was your notion that we cannot deal with other problems because we have this looming problem, and it's the only thing that we should.
Well,
we can't be myopic when we're looking at the rest of the world falling apart.
There's a difference between myopia and focus. Okay. I would respect it if the president stood up and said, you know what, we have this on our plate, let's fix this, and then we'll get to everything else. Even I would respect that of him.
All right. I mean, so you want a one-note State of the Union address.
I want, if we have one problem that everybody knows is the biggest problem, and I would classify that problem as, at the moment, the economy, let's work on that. Focus on that. Maybe okay. Can't fix the whole thing, but let's at least get some closure on the things that we have issues with before we start, you know, creating new issues.
Rich Honan is a partner in Phillips Lytle LLP, where he is a partner in charge of the Albany office. And for more information on the firm, you can visit their website, phillipslytle.com. That's also where you can mail him directly. Rich, it's only because otherwise I just have to forward it.
Right,
to you.
Right.
You know, you're very nice. You take all the letters. That's
well,
great.
We appreciate it. Keep those cards and letters
that's
coming.
That's right. Rich will be with us next month as well, and we'll continue our conversation. I'd love to do like they do on NPR and say, you know, if you want to hear more, our conversation will continue. You can go to but we actually have to get out of the studio. So
okay.
Yeah, you charge by the hour. Time's ticking.
Well, thank you.
Rich, thank you very much. Again, phillipslytle.com, and we'll talk to you next month.
Very good.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.